Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
A key signpost showing that we are nearing the end of what Scripture calls the last days is the rebirth of the nation of Israel and the return of the Jewish people to their homeland. As prophesied, one day they will look up and see Jesus coming in the clouds, and they will receive him as their true Messiah, as opposed to one of the many false Christs that will have preceded him. Please open your Bible to Mark chapter 13 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola continues his message on verses 14 through 27.
False Christ and false prophets have been the bane of humanity, not alone the church. And here Jesus said that some of them would be able to do signs and wonders to seduce. Now, what does it mean to seduce? It means to take advantage of people. You see, not everything that is supernatural is from God. You know that, right? Not every sign and wonder comes from God. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, speaking of the Antichrist, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Notice why they perish. Listen carefully. For those watching online, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, when someone keeps on rejecting the truth, I don't want to hear it, I don't want to hear it, I don't believe Jesus is the Christ, I don't believe he's the fulfillment of Scripture, and for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I want you to notice, saints, that in this verse, the Holy Spirit uses three words to explain supernatural manifestations of or miracles. Dunamis, semion, and teres. And notice how the miracles mentioned that the Antichrist will do are accomplished how? By the power of God? No, but by the power of Satan. So take note, saints. Miracle working is not necessarily evidence of God's power. In Acts 19, verse 13, there's reference to Jewish exorcists. In the book of Exodus, chapter 7, verse 22, there's the magicians of Egypt. And people today are being misled and deceived by false signs and false wonders and false healings because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. In the book of Revelation chapter 13, verse 13, and he, that is the beast out of the earth, does great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? And he deceives them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. These things are going to be happening at some point in time on this planet. And it would compel us to share these things with our loved ones. There are going to be satanic signs and wonders and miracles that will deceive people. People coming and saying that they are the Christ. So deceptive will these miracles be during the tribulation period that it says even if it was possible, and it's not possible that the elect should be deceived. Aren't you glad for the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
You know, I can remember when my daughter Andrea was a little girl and we were watching Christian television. And there was this guy on TV that was healing people. I mean, he was knocking him over like a professional bowler. Boom, strike one, strike two. And Andrea, cute little Andrea, just says, "Daddy, that guy's not of the Lord. That guy's not of the Lord." You see, miracles are not proof of a divine calling, nor are they necessarily approval of an individual. The final test is the Word of God. Remember last week in Acts chapter 2, Pentecost took place. There were people speaking in tongues. There were other phenomena that would happen that were happening. And what did Peter say? "This that you see and hear is that which is written in Scripture." He validated the wonders, the miracles with the Word of God. Strong deception, strong delusion, because people do not want to believe the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. And that's why Satan is on a mission to silence the truth of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ from being proclaimed. That's why there is strong opposition against you and me and others that are proclaiming the Word of God. Jesus says in verse 23, "I've told you all these things. I've told you. No one can claim innocence." Remember when Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem? He says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you, but you would not." He held them accountable for the prophecies that spoke of his first coming. He held them accountable. And there is accountability. Once we receive God's word, there's accountability. And people are going to be deceived. That's why it's so important that you and I be men and women of prayer, men and women who share the gospel and share who Jesus Christ is. Every false religion has a definition of Jesus Christ. Just do your homework. The question is, which Jesus are you talking about? Amen? There's only one Jesus that saves. There's false Christs, false prophets. Did you know that if someone prophesied something in the name of the Lord and they were wrong, you know what they did with them in the Old Testament? Well, if that happened today, as in the Old Testament, we'd collect, I'd ask Steve and John to collect some rocks and we'd do a little bit of rock throwing. There's no room for error when you say, "Thus saith the Lord." No room for error. Jesus said, in those days, after that tribulation, notice, after. So this is after this great tribulation period. And there's so much more that we could be talking about here. He says, "The sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken." Luke 21:25 says, "And upon the earth there will be distress of nations with perplexity." In other words, one of the things that is going to be, that's going to mark this planet, and there's a few other things we're going to mention at the end of the message today, is that there's going to be a time of distress, a time of anxiousness, a time of anguish, a time of disquietness, a time of uncertainty, a time where man is going to be looking for answers. Do you see any of this happening now? Mankind is ripe for someone to come on the scene and say, "I've got all the answers." Jesus said, "Don't believe them." Notice, the sun will be darkened. The moon will not give her light. The stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 13, verses 9 and 10, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine." The prophet Joel said in chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, the earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining, and the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executes his word. The day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide it? Who will stand? Who will stand? And Jesus says, when the moon and the sun and the stars are in disarray, we can't even imagine what that will be like. Jesus says, when you see everything being shaken, Hebrews talks about things that can be shaken. Things that can be shaken. He says, when you see mankind on planet Earth out of control, when you see signs and wonders and deception and anguish and times of perplexity, then they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Can you imagine? You know, I'm so spirit-filled. My wife and I were on vacation in Florida, and we happened to be renting a condo where we saw actually a rocket launch that was miles away, and it lit up the sky, and I'm standing there on our little condo porch, and I go, wow, isn't that spectacular? And Lizzie just says, yep, but it's nothing compared to when Jesus comes back the second time. I go, okay, it's not that big. It's nothing. Nothing. Jesus is going to return to the earth in the same manner that he left. In the book of Daniel, chapter 7, we read, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him, notice, dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Notice Daniel speaks of the Son of Man receiving glory and power that belongs only to whom? To who? God. The Lord Jesus quoted portions of these two verses in answer to the chief priest when asked if he was the Christ, the Son of God. He quoted those passages of Scripture. And here is the chief priest. He is the head theologian. And he doesn't even have a clue what Jesus is talking about. When Jesus ascended up to heaven, in Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. This is the 120. They're just looking up. I don't fault them. I would too. Imagine, there he goes with a cloud. Which also said, you men of Galilee, why are you standing here looking up to heaven? Why are you standing? Looking up to heaven, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. In other words, why are you standing here? He told you he was going to rise again. And he said, when I rise again, you have a mission. You have a purpose. You are now commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Why are you standing here? Why are you looking up? You occupy. You do what I told you to do. You see, and guys, personally, all of the conversation that is going on right now on the planet and even in the church is so toxic. It is such a distraction. We are to be those who are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to hang my baseball cap on any political party or any current event. Jesus said, you go. Why are you gazing up into heaven? Why are you gazing? You go and you preach the gospel. In the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 7, we read, behold, he comes with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. The prophet Zechariah says that at the end of the age, every nation is going to turn against Israel. The theater where the end times prophecies are going to take place, it's not going to be in New York City. It's not going to be in Moscow. It's not going to be in Paris. It's going to be right there in the city of Jerusalem. And when the Lord comes back again, he's going to set his feet on the Mount of Olives, not Mount Everest, not the Blue Mountains. He's going to come, and the Jews are going to look up, and they're going to see him whom they have pierced, and they're going to receive him as Messiah and Lord. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 27, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shines even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together." Just read the book of Revelation chapter 19. Two suppers in Revelation 19. You're either the meal or you're the guest. Those who reject Christ will become fodder, will become dinner, will become lunch for the carcasses or for the birds of the air. Incredible things are going to be taking place. Incredible. And Jesus said, our last verse for this morning, at least from this chapter, "And then shall he send his angels." Mark 8:38, Matthew 16:27 talks about Jesus coming back with his angels. Not only coming back with the army of those who are saved, coming back with his angels, and notice carefully, "and shall gather together his elect." Who is the elect in context? The Jews. "From the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven." Remarkable. It is prophesied that there will be a regathering of the Jewish people from every nation. They will be brought back to their ancient homeland. Deuteronomy 30 talks about this. Isaiah 11 talks about this. Jeremiah 31 talks about this. Ezekiel 31 and 36 talks about this. The Jewish people brought back to their ancient homeland. Now, unfortunately, there are some that confuse the gathering of the Jewish people from Babylonian captivity with what Jesus is saying here. When the Jews were brought back to their land, when they were in Babylonian captivity, they were gathered from one direction, just one place. This is worldwide. This is all over the world. God says, "I'm going to gather together my people back to their ancient homeland." So that means what? They have to be back in their ancient homeland for him to come back. Now, in 70 AD, the army of Titus killed more than a million Jews. And the remaining Jews were dispersed among all nations, just like Jesus said here. And they wandered as a people without a homeland until May 14th, 1948, when Israel, against all odds, it's never happened again, became a nation. How many Hittites have you met lately? Against all odds, because God said it was going to happen. He prophesied he was going to gather his people back to their ancient homeland. That was a miracle. The prophet Isaiah says, "Can a nation be born in one day?" You fast forward the history of Israel, and in the Six-Day War of 1967, the Jews took back Jerusalem from Gentile control for the first time since 70 AD. The last time I was in Israel and went and visited the Temple Mount, or the Temple Institute. You have gone there if you've been to Israel. They were first of all, they had shirts that they printed because there were nations that were giving America a hard time. And they had shirts. I wish I would have bought one. This is Israel saying, don't worry, America, we'll protect you. And then they had little replicas all over Israel, replicas of the third temple. They're there. You know why? God is faithful. God is faithful to do what he says he will do, and nothing can stop it. And it's not because they're so holy. They're pretty much secular. But God says, I'm going to draw them back to that ancient homeland. They had not been masters of Jerusalem since 606 BC when Nebuchadnezzar conquered it, and the Romans banned them from living there from 135 AD. It's a miracle. Paul in Romans chapter 11 states that there is a glorious future in store for the nation of Israel. Romans 11, verses 25 through 27. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. That is, it is written, and he quotes from the Old Testament prophets. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them when I will take away their sins. In other words, Paul, writing to the church, is warning them. Take this soberly. Be careful how you speak about the Jewish people. Don't you dare claim that you replace them. Don't be ignorant of this mystery. God's purpose in allowing blindness in part to come upon Israel is for you and I, Gentiles, to be grafted in. We're grafted in. They're the natural branch. We're the wild bunch. Look at us. We're the crazy one. We're grafted in. We don't bear the root. The root bears us. The word until refers to a specific time. Blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Fullness speaks of completion. Completion of what? Well, between Daniel's 69th and 70th week, Paul was given a revelation of a mystery body. The church, Jew, Gentile, in Yeshua. And when that last Gentile bows the knee to Jesus Christ, we're out of here. And if it's you today, get with the program, please. Get with the program. And when the church is removed, the 70th week of Daniel begins. The church had no part in the first 69 weeks. We have no part in the 70th week. I challenge you, read all of the Old Testament prophecies regarding the second coming of Jesus Christ. You will not find any reference to the church. You'll find every nation pitted against Israel. We are gone. Now, will there be people saved during the tribulation? Oh, yeah. A whole lot of people are going to be saved. God's going to anoint 144,000 radical, radical Jews to share the gospel during the tribulation period. One day, the Jews are going to realize their blindness and their folly. They're going to receive Christ as Messiah and Lord. And there's going to be a glorious restoration. Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless his holy, his word. Join us on Monday at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.